Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Local Business Network Hour. Local Business Network is Michigan's most powerful business referral organization because we are truly committed to maximizing referrals for our members and because we have the experience and systems necessary to achieve that goal. In our 20th year of experience in building, training, and supporting of business and referral groups has resulted in referral generation programs superior to that offered by any of our competition. Here's Al and Chuck today. Chuck, how are you today, sir? Oh, actually, I should have bring him off a hole. 1 second. There he is. Hey, Chuck, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Great to be on the show again with you. Another week goes by so fast, it's almost frightening.
It is. There's a lot going on.
There absolutely is. I know that for our audience, we've been in a series of shows that have been talking about referral partners, and this is actually the third step in that series. And basically for our audience, for the members of Local Business Network, we send out news notes every Monday, and they spotlight and highlight different things about networking. And this has been a series that we've been sharing with our membership, and we use this show to, one, educate people who aren't part of the LBN family yet to understand more of what we do, and for members of our organization, it's a way that they can hear it, you know, from us and hear it from the perspective that we have, and hopefully it helps them have a better understanding of how they can use these tools to improve their networking abilities. So over to you, Chuck.
Well, before we get into that, I wanted to talk about a couple things going on down here in Texas that I thought our audience might be interested in. And one was just to brag a little bit about our Frisco evening chapter and our last meeting. I was just extremely impressed by their 60-second presentations. And this is something we really like to work on in LBN and try to get our members to share something with other members of the chapter that will help them understand their businesses better and be able to help them. So we ask them to tell us stories about somebody that they've worked with and how they helped that person, how that was unique, different, better than the competition, and then tie an ask into that, asking their fellow members to introduce them to the types of people described in the story and so on. So at our Frisco Evening Chapter, Tori Pinkerton, our mortgage guy, started things out by talking about a person that was referred by a realtor friend of his who actually had a client who was working with a different mortgage company, and it was a veteran situation, and they were unable to get him approved for a veterans a VA program. And
right.
So Tori stepped in and reviewed the case and found some things that he thought he could do that might remedy the situation. They resubmitted and it got approved. So this is somewhere, I mean, this guy was not even his client, and he stepped in to help out and ended up rectifying the situation and, just made the extra effort to help this guy out and ended up with the client. So just a great story about how he was able to help a guy. And the ask was to work with anyone that people knew who was a veteran and was interested in getting a mortgage in the VA program that might be having trouble. And so it was a great story. And then the rest of the group kind of picked up on that story and told the stories about how they had gone the extra mile to provide services for people that they had all worked with. And we went around the room and everybody just had a great story to tell Great example of how they made extra effort to help these people, and all had good ass tied to them. So we ended up with just really great, great, great stories, and a tremendous meeting as a result. And in fact, this one guy who is a roofer told a story about a guy that he had helped down the street, a friend of his, who had not submitted a claim after the last hailstorm, and then had storm damage afterwards, or leakage afterwards, and he stepped in to help the guy out, and got everything taken care of, and was able to get through the insurance company and get some funds for him. Whereas normally, if you don't submit that claim within a year, everybody else in the neighborhood's done it and you don't do it. If there's water damage or that sort of thing after that, you're on your own. This guy worked with the insurance company, was able to get it cleared, and saved the guy thousands of dollars. And as
That's
a result of that story, two other people in the room said, somebody in my office just had a problem with water leakage, and do you think you could help them out? And, oh, yeah. So we got two referrals right there in the meeting. So it just goes to show, if you do it right and you share the right information with people, you will generate referrals for yourself. If you stand up and say, hey, I'm a roofer, I repair roofs, and I'd like to talk to anybody that has a roof problem, you're not gonna get the business. So, but if you do it the right way and tell a story people can relate to, they think of people that they've met with. I mean, they heard about these things but hadn't really connected it and brought a referral to them. Now they because of that story, they made the connection, and they're generating the referrals. And I was really proud of the group and the way they presented their stories and the results that they got. So,
That's
and
I'm,
of course, I was sure to point out, the reason you got results is because you did it right, right?
Yeah, go figure, huh?
So, yeah. So,
That's great, Dick.
So that was exciting. That was fun. Then that same group Tuesday night did a first-time homebuyers conference or seminar, and they've been working on this for a couple months, and they did one before, which I attended, and it was good, but they really worked and focused on improving their presentations, and they did a much better job this time, they had. One of the weaknesses was they only had three or four prospects in the room. So they had gone through a marketing program, and there were elements of that did not work out. But in the process, they made some connections with some apartment managers, and they're continuing to build those relationships. So we have an idea where we can take that marketing program to improve it, so that next time we're going to have hopefully 5 or 10 people at least at their next seminar. And they want to continue to do this on a monthly or every other month basis. And so I'm just really proud of them, the way they work together, the way they put the program together, and the way they collaborated on the marketing effort. Didn't get quite where they wanted to get, but move themselves along a pathway now to a point where there are some new things that they can do that they haven't been able to do in the past. And so I'm sure their next event will be even more successful. But I believe firmly that two of the three people that were there will be doing business with the members of the chapter. And, of course, once they kind of get them into the pipeline, they kind of refer them with to others within the group, and so it turns out to be a referral for many people. And I think as the word about the strength of these presentations gets out, some of those people who attend now will be telling other people about it, and so their audience will continue to grow. So that's that chapter. I'm just really proud of, and things are going along well. One other thing that I wanted to mention was one of my members here has a relative in another city in Texas, and he is a part of a BNI chapter, and the member from here, from our LBN chapter, went to visit with them, and they were complaining about some situations they're going through with BNI, and so it looks like there's a good possibility that there's a good possibility that they will no longer be with BNI and that they might come to LBN. So looking forward to that. It'll be a remote chapter, so we won't have a regional director there for every meeting, but we can get there for some initial training and then kind of manage it using Skype and webinars and so on. So that was exciting. Another BNI group coming over to LBN. As you know, that's happened several times in the past. And
actually, at my class last week, I had a lady who's joined LBN, who had actually been an officer for a number of years at a BNI group. And you know, in the class, I share some of the differences and things that that we bring to the table. And it's something where I'm not trying to bash them at all. I'm just basically pointing out, the things that we've been aware of and stuff. And she basically said, I hit it exactly. And so she was basically like, because one of the things that I when I'm talking to people about inviting people to come check it out is to say that we're not BNI, that I want them to see it's a different experience. And she admitted she was hesitant at first because of her experience there. And she came in and she did that. Then she came to the class. And our trainings are far different than what they offer. And it was just an interesting thing to get her feedback afterwards of the differences and how much more of a positive experience it is. That was probably the thing she said more than anything, that it was a lot more positive.
Yeah, I'd like to, in private hear some of those comments and share some thoughts here and because it's a good possibility I'll be working with this group and I'd like as much background information as I can. So it's always good to get feedback, find out what's going on with some of our competitors. So.
Yeah, I'll shoot you a list of the stuff so you have it, if you have it in black and white.
Well, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So did you have anything going on in the last week or so that... you wanted to mention, or
really,
should we just jump into the news notes?
We can just jump into the news notes. I think that a lot of the stuff that was last week, I kind of got everything off that was all the things we're trying to, that was like, oh my God, kind of stuff. So I think we're ready to just jump in.
Okay. Well, a little background information. Our series that we're working on is all about developing referral partner relationships and kind of taking a look at it from the aspect of, what are the problems and pitfalls and how do we get around those? What do we need to do to make sure that we are able to develop good, strong referral partner relationships that are going to be lasting and that are going to provide us with virtually a lifetime of referrals. So first we talked about how do you identify ideal referral partners. And then last week we talked about, so you've got somebody that you think might be a good referral partner for you. What do you say to them? What do you do? How do you move forward? How do you begin to develop this relationship? How do you invite them to a one-on-one meeting in a way that's going to get their acceptance and the agreement that they're willing to meet, and it kind of sets the stage for the kind of meeting that you want to have. So we've been through those stages. So the next thing is, okay, so you got this meeting coming up. How are you going to prepare for it? What do you need to do? Because this is a different type of a one-on-one meeting. It's a one-on-one meeting for the purposes of evaluating an individual to see whether they are good material for a referral partner relationship. And then secondly, how do you move that forward into an agreement that you're going to collaborate and work to develop a referral partner relationship. So, thinking about this meeting that's coming up, what are your goals? First goal is you want to impress them, okay? You want them to understand that you are a true professional, you are someone who's going to take good care of any referral that might be sent for you to you, both in terms of your attitude and willingness to provide that person with good services, but also that you do have the products and services that are going to be able to satisfy their needs. So that's number one goal. Number two is you're going to want to gather information about them. And so because you need to make the decision as to whether or not this is someone that you would feel good about sending a referral to. You don't want to send your best friend to somebody that's going to mistreat them or not do a good job, or if there is a problem, just walk away from it and not try to resolve it. So you need to evaluate that individual as they are evaluating you. And then the third goal will be to, if you have made the decision that this is somebody that would be a good referral partner, now you have to pose the question of, okay, are you willing to or interested in developing a referral partner relationship? And then once you've gotten their agreement, the fourth goal is to identify the initial steps that you're each going to take in terms of developing that relationship. So you want to accomplish those four things in this one meeting, and you need to be prepared, first of all, to impress this individual. So in LBN, we have what is called a referral partner profile sheet, and we want our members to fill that sheet out because it contains information on the seven factors that a referral partner needs to know about your business so that they can refer you. And so we have this referral partner profile sheet. It used to be a two-page document. We've kind of shortened it up into a one-pager, and we've kind of made it into bullet points so that the individual that's receiving the information can read it easily, can absorb it easily, and hopefully retain a good portion of it over time. And of course, it's important to put it on paper because, hey, if you're given a 20-minute presentation, our kind of formula for a one-on-one meeting is 10 minutes to kind of get organized, get situated, define your goals, and get into the meeting. 20 minutes for one person to present, 20 minutes for the other person, and then 10 minutes to talk about the ways in which you're going to help each other. Well, if you're feeding them 20 minutes worth of information, none of it's on paper, and they have to try and scratch down notes as you're pumping out this information, they're not going to get it all down. They're not going to remember it. They need a document they can look back to that will kind of summarize it. And it also provides the person speaking with an outline of the things that they want to cover. 20 minutes seems like a lot of time, but once you get into it, you'll find that 20 minutes has gone, you know, really fast. Goes by very quickly. And if you don't have an outline to follow, you wander off track. You forget to mention something. You don't get the key points across. And so it's a great outline to follow to make sure you're covering the right points, the most important points, in an effective manner, and giving the other individual the information they need to help you. Okay? So, in preparation for this meeting, you need to make sure that you have your referral partner profile sheet done. Now, obviously, it's reusable. You don't go in once and use it, and then next time recreate it. You save it in a Word file, and actually, after every meeting, you're probably going to make a couple of improvements on it, because you'll notice that you've forgotten something or didn't state something as clearly as you could have, etc. And so it's kind of a document that continues to improve. Also, things change in your business, in the marketplace, and as those things change, you may want to change some of the elements of your one-page referral partner profile sheet. So now when you walk in with this document, if the other person's an LBN member, they know you've done your homework. They know you've taken the time and effort to put this document together. It's a signal to them that, hey, this guy is a professional. This guy is serious about developing referral partner relationships. And this guy is someone that I do want to deal with. This is someone I want to be a referral partner profile, a referral partner with. And so it's an indication that you're really serious about this, and that you've made an effort to put the information together that will make it as easy as possible for your referral partner to work with you. So that's really the first step in getting prepared for the meeting, is to get this referral partner profile sheet done.
Well, Chuck, can I just throw a couple other couple other things? I really look at going to one of these one-on-ones as almost a job interview. That's kind of how I approach them. So if I'm meeting with a potential referral partner, there's some other things that I'm going to do. I'm going to Google their business. I'm going to take a look and see, you know, if there's what's the reputation that I'm seeing on them. Are there negative things? Are there positive things? And what happens is that if you acknowledge that you looked at that stuff, hey, I checked you out on Facebook, I saw your profile here and there, it shows that you care. It shows that you're listening. And so I'm not there to criticize, but if it's something that, if I look and see they don't have a strong social media presence, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not going to make that a big part of what I'm talking about. But if they do, I will. And so I'm looking at the strengths that I see and where I see their focus, and looking for the attention that they may have. And I think it's an important way of showing how serious you were, rather than showing up blind and not understanding anything. I think if you kind of think about it like a job interview, I think it's easier. And I think they're going to be far more responsive. Here's the way I'm looking at it. Is that if I'm meeting with you, and I've done all of these things, so I'm, you know, I've done my due diligence on who you are, what you do. I show up prepared. I have my documentation prepared. I'm putting all this stuff in front of you, and you have nothing. That's probably going to be the last time you do it that way. You know, not that I'm trying to embarrass you or nothing, but you know, the expectation should be that you should be, you know, prepared too. And so, you know, that's kind of how I want that to be perceived, that I want people to be serious about this, that too many people think that a one-on-one is a social, and it's not. Again, like I said, if you approach it like a job interview, that whole perspective changes. And just as a job interview, you're going to take it far more seriously than just meeting with somebody for coffee, because that's not what this is.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, it's, you know, if you go into that meeting and you already know something about their business, you can comment on it. They can certainly see that you've approached it professionally. And let's face it, you need to impress them as much as you want them to impress you.
Yep.
However, you know, sometimes you will find that the other person has not prepared. And either because you know, maybe they're new to LBN, or maybe they're not even an LBN member. So they don't even know about these types of things. And so you really have to go prepared to dig it out of them. They can start wandering all over the place, and you need to bring them back to, well, I need to know, you know, what your unique selling proposition is, what makes you unique, different, or better than the competition. Who is your target market? If I don't know that, how can I possibly find a prospect for you? And and the other seven items that we have on the referral partner profile sheet. So if you run into one of those situations where it's a newcomer to LBN, or it's someone who is not in LBN, because you can have referral partner relationships with other people, you need to take over the role of educator. You need to really tell them what you need to know and why, and dig it out of them, and keep them on track. Typically, if they don't come with any notes, they're going to be wandering, or with any sort of an outline or agenda or summary of what they want to share, they're going to be wandering all over the place. And so it's really important for you to be able to nail it down and get the information you need to help them. So
that's one of the things that I always ask in training, is I'll ask people if they've done one-on-ones before. You know, and some, they're really, they just jump in and they do it, and I'll say, you know, what can you tell me about that person? And they like, you know, sailboating, and they like playing golf. I'm like, no, what can you tell me about their business, and why why are they going to be a referral partner for you? And they're going like, I didn't even came up. And so it's one of those like, aha, you know, kind of things. So, because most people don't know. They don't know why they're supposed to do it. Chuck, I didn't know. I always go back to when I first joined, and I remember I just joined, and I had a guy invite me to do a one-on-one, and I was so gung-ho. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. And I went, and it was actually it was a prepaid legal, and there was 11 other people that the guy had invited for a one-on-one. So I go there. There's 12 people. The guy that invited me never even spoke, and his boss got up and talked for 2.5 hours. And so I remember I got done, and we didn't know each other yet. And I don't know if you remember this, but I called you. I said, hey, I just joined, and I just sat through this, and you said, have you been to training yet? I said, no. You said, I would have told you to leave. I'm like, damn it. I didn't know. So it was one of those things where I was like, oh, my God. So I came to the training right away, and it made me have such a different understanding of what the true value of a quality one-on-one was, and the things to avoid, and how to be so much better, you know, with my time management from that. But, you know, I just don't want other people to have to go through that, you know, that I did like an idiot. Nobody else has to be that idiot if they listen to what we're trying to tell them.
Yeah, absolutely. A one-on-one meeting should never be a sales pitch. And you know, that's, you know, if that happens to you in LBN, that is my recommendation, you know, get up and leave. They shouldn't be putting you through that. And it shouldn't be the hard sell, and it's not about purchasing the other person's products or services. It's about learning about each other in general, and especially if it's a referral partner relationship. I mean, you can go to a one-on-one meeting just for the purpose of getting to know each other more broadly. Maybe it's not somebody that would be a great referral partner for you, but still you might be able to find out some ways that you can help each other. But
sure.
And if you're not an LBN, typically the purpose of a one-on-one meeting is to, very often at least, is to sell each other. That's not what it is in LBN. In LBN, we meet to learn about each other and find ways we can help each other, not to sell each other's products and services. We have a different approach in LBN in the first place. But secondly, if it's a one-on-one meeting for the purpose of building a referral partner relationship, there are very specific things that you want to accomplish. And ultimately, your goal is to come to an agreement, either that you wouldn't make good referral partners for each other, or that you would. And if you would and you want to and feel good about moving forward, then defining some steps to take to move that relationship forward and begin to generate referrals for each other. So that's, kind of a difference between a one-on-one in LBN and a one-on-one elsewhere in the networking world. And you need to be aware of it, that difference exists, because if you're meeting with someone who is not LBN, they may have completely different expectations. And so typically what I do is if I'm having a one-on-one meeting with someone that's not in LBN, I will discuss ahead of time, this is the purpose of the meeting. This is why I want to meet. I'm here to see if I can help you with your business. You can help me with mine. But I'm not going to try to sell you my products and services, and I don't expect you to try to sell me. So if you want to meet, go ahead and meet. I mean, let's go ahead and do it. But, if you just were hoping to have a sales opportunity, this isn't it. So let me know whether
or
not you like
it. Call it what it is. I guess, so this is what I don't understand why people can't do, is if it's something where, if you want to show me the value of your product or service to me, tell me what you want to do, and I can say yes or no. So,
right.
But you have to have that option. Well, you just can't cram it down my throat, because it's not going to go well. But that's
right.
Why I always tell people, just call it what it is. I mean, if you have some amazing product that you think it could be there, say, hey, I'd love to tell you about this. Okay, or no thanks. I have it's a yes or no kind of thing. But you can't call it something else and then kind of, switch gears on me. But unfortunately, if people haven't been through the training, they don't know. People aren't doing this to be deceptive. They just don't know,
Right.
I guess,
yes,
what our proper etiquette is, so that's another thing that people need to understand. It's, don't be offended by this. This is just something where if they don't know any better, it's not their fault, but it's knowing the right questions to ask. And then what I've basically done to do is to be able to say why. I want to do a one-on-one with you. Why? Well, because blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, that wouldn't be a one-on-one. That would be a sales presentation. Is that what you're asking me? Yes. Okay, then I have the option to say yes or no. If you're talking about how we can work together to grow each other's businesses, then that would be a one-on-one. And then I can approach that differently, and I'm going to do my due diligence, and I'm going to do all the things that I need to do so I can prepare to meet with you. So, but if you're going to do a sales presentation, I don't have to do anything but wait for you to present to me. So, to me, it's a totally different animal that we're dealing with in those two scenarios.
They are totally different, and that's why it's really up to you to let the other person know how you're viewing this thing. Because the norm down here in Texas, I'm telling you, the norm is for people to go to those meetings expecting that they're going to be making a sales pitch.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, they'd like referrals, but primarily they're there to see if they can sell you something. And so I have to explain to them, hey, you know, that's not why I do one-on-ones. I may or may not be interested in your products and services. If I am, I'll let you know. But it's not very likely because I probably have somebody in LBN that does that, and I'm going to be true to them. However, I may be able to help you in your business by introducing you to some people in LBN that can be good referral partners for you. And, you know, you might be able to help me by referring me to some people that might be able to use my services, but I am not going to try to sell you membership in LBN. I'll invite you to come to a meeting if you'd like to after you've heard what we're all about, but I'm not going to, you know, my goal here is not to bring along a contract and sign you up. So, but you know, we have to understand as LBN members that other people have a different view of what a one-on-one meeting is. And so we have to explain to them what we want to accomplish in the meeting and make an agreement that, yeah, this is what it's going to be about. And if you don't want it to be about that, you just want to make a sales pitch, no thanks.
Right.
But if if you're looking to build a relationship here where we can help each other, happy to talk about it. And I know I can help you. I can flat out guarantee
yep.
I can help you. Okay?
Absolutely.
Many people have a different view. They're into a rut. You know, they know what they've done in the past. They expect to do it again. And, and another thing is down here in Texas, quite a few people will say, let's talk about how we can help each other. But they don't really come to the meeting with the intention of helping you. And they certainly don't come with the right information. I've gone to one-on-one meetings that have lasted 2 hours, and as much as I dig, I still can't get the information I need so I can help this person. So,
right.
I mean, we are unique. We're a unique culture in LBN. We have a unique set of tools. We have a unique set of ways of approaching things. And we can't expect everyone in the rest of the world to understand what our view of it is unless we explain it to them. So anyway, continuing on in terms of preparations, we've talked about sharing information with each other, but one of the things you're doing here is you're assessing this individual to determine whether they are someone you might like to build a referral partner relationship with. And so you really want to ask some questions that kind of get at their character, get at how ethical they are, and, get a good feel for how they're going to treat a customer. So in the news notes, we put a couple of questions in, what is your philosophy of customer service? And it's a very broad question, but it gives them the opportunity to tell you that they're, very committed to making sure that each and every client is treated properly and fairly. And so on and so forth. But, you can sometimes be surprised by the answers you get back.
My favorite of all, Chuck, was the painter who said, all house painters are drunks, and I'm not a drunk. That's my favorite of all time.
All right. Yeah, like I say, you can get some strange answers. another question you can say is, you know, describe a situation where you had an unhappy customer. What steps did you take to make the situation right? You know, did they just walk away from the situation? Well, it's never going to satisfy this guy, so heck with them. Next. You know, if that's their attitude, it's not the kind of guy you want to work with. Or if they say, well, you know, I did this, and I tried this, and I did that, and did the other thing, and in the end, I didn't make anything on this deal, but I didn't want to have an unhappy customer, so I made sure I made things right. Well, that's the guy you want to be a referral partner, right?
Heck yeah.
So, you know, that's a good question to ask. Another one, what do you do when you feel you don't have the right products or services to satisfy the needs for a customer? You know, if you don't have the stuff, the right stuff, you should be referring to somebody that has the right stuff. You should be willing to say, yeah, I'd like to sell you insurance, but I don't have a policy that is going to really fit your needs. But I know somebody that does. And so, you know, I'm going to refer you over there. I'd like to do business with you, but I just don't feel that I can do the right thing for you. So, and Harry can. So I know Harry's got the right product for you. With your approval, I will ask Harry to give you a call. So, you know, you don't want to deal with someone that's going to try to force their product down somebody's throat, even though they know it's not right.
Right. And I kind of go back to my, you know, years in the, you know, in the refi business. And, you know, one of the things that I learned was never tell a person no. You know, so it's going to be something where if you can't help them to the best of your ability, offer an alternative, and they're going to be so much more grateful. You may get more referrals back from that person that you told no to than the person that, because I'd rather have somebody else do a better job or take care of them I can't do or I don't want to do, because they're going to come back because they're going to be far more loyal to you. And that's what I've seen over and over again.
Yes, absolutely. So, if you do the right thing for the customer, you're always going to come out better. So, you know, you may not get that sale, but you could get some down the road, or at least this guy's going to go out and tell other people, hey, this is an honest guy, you can trust him. And so that's the right way to go. Another question you can ask is, can you think of a situation that demonstrates your honesty and integrity when dealing with a customer? So let them tell you a story. Let them tell you a story of how they went the extra mile, while they did the right thing, even though that meant that they weren't going to make any money on the deal or, you know, whatever. And so, but you want to be able to evaluate this person's integrity, honesty. You want to make sure that they are going to deal properly with the customer, or else you don't want them for a referral partner. Okay? So you need to ask some of these questions and, you know, make sure this is the person you want to deal with. Because if you do proceed with a referral partner relationship, you are going to send some of your customers to this individual. You want to make darn sure that he's going to take good care of. Right? So, you know, assuming all goes well, and you like the other individual, and the other individual likes you, then you really need to pose the question of whether or not they would be willing or are interested in pursuing a referral partner relationship. And so we had an example in the article on a way you might be able to do that. It said, John, I'm impressed with your experience, honesty, and integrity. The type of person with whom I would like to build referral partner relationship. If you are as impressed with me as I am with you, I'd like to begin building a referral partner relationship. Do you agree? Okay, so let's make the agreement that we are going to work together to be referral partners. And you've got to get the other guy to say, yes, I want to do it, I'm going to do it, and we're going to do our best to work together to help each other. Right? So, I mean, obviously, exactly how you phrase it is up to you. It may depend upon the situation, may depend upon exactly what you're comfortable with, but something you need an agreement, okay? You don't proceed until you have agreed, yes, we are developing a referral partner relationship, and I'm willing to commit to that. So once you get that commitment, then it's time to talk about the things that you're going to do to help each other. Now, in LBN, it's understood, and this is a spot on the referral partner relationship sheet, that where you can write down things that you're going to do to help the other person and vice versa. And so now it's time to talk about those things and to agree on how to approach people that you may know that might need their services, etc. And really set a time frame for talking to these people and seeing if you can help each other by generating the opportunity for them to speak to that individual. So you need to qualify the individual for them and then get their agreement that they will speak with your referral partner. So the last 10 minutes of the conversation is that, going over those things you've identified. You may need to give the other person some guidance on how to approach the person that they say they feel might be a good prospect for you. You might need some help from them, or you may need to talk about, hey, what exactly do you want me to do? How do you want me to approach this person, and vice versa, so that you have a plan of action, and then it's time to go out and start doing these things. So at this point, we're just talking about the preparations for this meeting. Next week, we'll talk about the actual meeting. So it's going to sound a little bit redundant because we're going to be going back over some of these things. But it's really critical that you think this out ahead of time. Make sure that you're prepared to share the information you need to share and to guide the one-on-one meeting so that the ultimate result is, yes, we have an opportunity to develop a referral partner relationship, and this is what we are each going to do. This is the time frame that we are going to accomplish those things, and let's get started. And so then that of course, means that you'll be talking over the next couple of weeks as things progress, either you're successful in approaching people on behalf of the other individual or you're not. Don't give up. Okay, there's a learning curve here. You're learning how to promote their business. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to get some responses you don't expect. And you need to get together on the phone afterwards and talk about, okay, this is the situation, this is what I said, is there something I could have done to do that better, or can you give me any advice on how I might improve what I did? Because ultimately your goal is to become the best referral partner you can for that individual, and they have that same goal in terms of helping you. So it's critical to keep the communication lines open and to recognize that, hey, it's not all going to be successes as we move forward. There will be some failures, and there will be some need to change some things, and, it's a learning process.
And I think the other thing to think about, without jumping into what we're going to go through next week, but in the same process, what you've got to think about is, are you currently giving, so would these referrals have to come from somewhere? Who have you been giving these to in the past? What have you gotten in return from them? Because it's one of the things that I'll hear from people will say, well, I give everything to so-and-so. Well, what do they give you? They don't give me anything. Well, why? Well, I don't know. So it's got to be something where you've got to be able to think about, you know, if you're going to have in a certain bucket, you're going to say, well, I look back and there's been 10 situations in the last year where I could have recommended your services. Okay, so what's different? What am I bringing to the table? What's the reasons that you're going to use me versus someone else? Because, you know, I want to be that go-to person for you. And because the way I'm looking at it is that my goal is to be able to give you business as well. So you're giving me business, in return I'm giving you business. And what you've got to do is look at your current relationships and see if it's one-sided or not, because you may realize there's actually far more opportunities to help the new referral partner that you hadn't even thought of, because you just had that guy or that lady who's been that person. But you need to look at that and say, what am I truly getting out of the relationship? Yes, they're giving great customer service. They're offering a great product. Whatever the reason is, that's awesome. But if it's a referral partner, there's an expectation of return. And if there is not that return of business from that person, then you really have to look at that relationship and decide, is that how you want to continue it? Or are you having this person who's going to be giving you referrals now that you're not going to give them in return because you're giving them to somebody else who's giving you nothing? So that's one of those like things you really got to kind of go through and figure that out.
Yeah, really it's critical to develop this mindset that referrals that you have for other people are assets that you're investing in someone and you expect a return. So you're going to invest those assets with the individual that's going to give you the most back, right? So
right.
You're giving them something of value. I mean, one deal you pass along, depending upon what it is, could be worth $10,000. Someone giving you a referral for an office machine could be a $10,000 or $20,000 purchase, right? And so it's, you know, if somebody gives you that kind of a referral, you need to give quite a bit back. I know you had a relationship with a office products guy who sold $250 machine. So you were able, but you were able to give him a large volume of those smaller referrals
right.
in exchange for one big one. So things, some semblance of a balance is there. But you know, essentially, what you did in a period of 6 months or so was build a pipeline of prospects that was bigger than the other four salesmen in the office. So,
correct.
You know,
right.
If you do it right, it's just, it's huge.
For sure. And it's all the things that you taught, Chuck. I mean, these aren't things that we're born with. These are all learned skills. And that's the purpose of, you know, becoming a member and being part of our family, is that you're surrounded by a bunch of people who have been taught the same set of skills. And it makes it so much easier because they can do it. And then the other part is, then even when you're dealing with people who aren't, you still have the upper hand. You're still going to know the ways to be able to communicate and be able to grow in ways that people just are going to be very impressed by.
And this whole idea of gathering referrals to give, the better you are at that, the more you get back. So if you give $100,000 worth of referrals every year, you're going to get somewhere in the range of $80,000 to $100,000 back. If you want $250,000 in referrals back, you need to be giving out, $250,000 in referrals. And so the better you are at generating referrals, the more business you're going to get in return. But it's frequently much easier to generate a referral for someone else than to generate a new customer for yourself. So if you can get them to do the work of giving you prospects, then you're saving a ton of time and money.
Right. And it's the way to go. It's the way to go. I don't know any other better investment of time and money than the model that, you know, that you created, Chuck.
Well, you keep saying I created it, but I started it. But we've been learning, and our members have been contributing, and you've been contributing, our staff contributing to this effort over the last 20 years. And so no one individual is responsible for what we have to offer. It's really a conglomerate of contributions from a large number of people. And we're still learning, and we're still changing.
Girl,
and,
every day.
We will
every
continue.
Day I'm learning something new.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, Chuck, it's still based on, all I'm saying is that it's based on the foundation that you created is really what I was referring to. That's all.
Right. Well, you kind of jumped in, after we've been around for 7 years or so. And, it was just at that point, after 7 years, that we're able to put together a training program that covered the majority of these issues, and forcing ourselves to put that training program together taught us more. And once we taught that to people, they give us some feedback, which taught us more. And
yep.
We keep it going. Keep learning new things. We keep modifying things. So the things that I write today, I could not have written 18 years ago when we first got started.
There's no way.
And
that's
yeah.
the thing that I like about how we've been able to be flexible is that, we continue to evolve. And so that's one of the things that I hear in others is that they're kind of frozen in time. They haven't progressed. They haven't moved on or haven't moved forward with any training that they offer. And so there's constantly where I'm talking to people and they're like, this is the first time, this is these revolutionary things that they're hearing for the first time. And it's like, well, we started doing that 5 years ago. We started doing that 3 years ago. We started doing that last year. And they're just like, what? Are you kidding me? So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Chuck, I think we are just about out of time. If you want to do your closing statement, and then we will wrap her up for today, buddy. And then, like I said, I'll email you that information as soon as we're done with the show.
Okay, sounds great. Basically, what we're talking about is building referral partner relationships. That's one way to grow your business in LBN, but in my mind is the most fun, the most effective. If you can build a team of 8 to 10 ideal referral partners, you're going to have money flowing in on a regular basis and tremendously improve your success in your business. So it's worth pursuing this. It's worth paying attention to it. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people that still come to LBN and spend their time primarily prospecting and selling to people in LBN rather than through people in LBN. And these referral partner relationships are the key to everything. So
that's cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you again next Wednesday at 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Eastern. And as always, God bless America. Take care, everybody. We'll see you later, Chuck. Bye-bye.